My name is Jack Armstrong, and I'd like to welcome you to the first in a series of podcasts that will be based on a book called Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. The book itself is a compilation of some rather remarkable writings that are in the form of lessons about life and about spirituality. All the other podcasts in this series will be devoted to the actual contents of the book, and I'll be reading them to you. And eventually, we're going to get through the whole book, and the series will include all of the lessons in the book. But this first one, I think, needs to be devoted to giving you some background information about the book, because it really deserves an explanation. I want to talk with you about how it came about, what's in it, and how it's organized, and also tell you a little bit about me and my role in it. This is a book that I think could be helpful to anybody, really, who's interested in spirituality or who's just trying to figure out what life's all about. And that obviously could be a broad spectrum of people. It could range from folks who read and think a lot about spiritual issues to those who've never really thought much about it, from people involved in some kind of organized religion to people who may be disaffected by religion but still feel like there's got to be something bigger going on than all of us. And really anyone who's searching for more meaning in life. Before I talk with you about the book itself, I think it's important to talk about how it got here, because this is not your garden variety spiritual book, whatever that might be. I need to tell you right up front that I don't consider myself to be the author. Yeah, my name is on the cover, but the contents, the lessons themselves, clearly came from someplace other than me. And I will try to explain that to you. If you've been exploring spiritual issues for a while, you might well be familiar with a series of books called Conversations with God, or a set of books called A Course in Miracles. Both of these came about through a process where certain individuals experienced a kind of communication with some source that was other than their own minds, and they wrote out the information that they were getting. Now, this is going to come as a big surprise to a lot of people who've known me for a long time, but I've been experiencing this same phenomenon for 30 years and never really told anybody about it, and in fact, didn't really know what was happening. Let me try to describe for you what happens when this is happening. I can't really explain it, but I can describe it for you. I honestly don't remember exactly when or how or where this process began. I have kept most of the things that I've written over the years, and the earliest dated one that I can find is December of 1978. So it's somewhere, you know, in that range. I will know somehow when I'm supposed to sit down with a pen and paper. And this is a real exercise in trust. I'll sit down and a series of thoughts start coming to me. And I'll essentially be taking dictation from those thoughts. I don't hear anything at all. There's not a voice. It's just a series of thoughts. And there are times when I'll think, okay, are these coming from my mind or are they coming from someplace else? I need to sort of step aside with my own consciousness and let the thoughts flow through and write down whatever comes, whether it makes sense or not. And when this is flowing, it comes very quickly, very fast. And sometimes I'll have the first few sentences in my mind before I even have sat down with the pen and paper. I guess our minds all function differently. Mine doesn't remember concepts real well. I somehow am able to pull out some pretty obscure facts and figures, but concepts just don't seem to stick as well. So as I'm writing this stuff, and so quickly, I usually don't even remember what I've already written. Now, it's almost always clear when the communication's over with. Sometimes there will be pauses in the process for a little while, and then it'll pick up again, but it's pretty clear when it's done. I will read back over it and just be in awe. I mean, it's almost as if I've been given a final version of something. It's very clear, it's easy to understand, it's grammatically correct, it all hangs together. And it uses a kind of a language that's significantly different from my own. It's also important for you to know that I am a maniac about writing, about grammar, punctuation, everything. When I'm writing my own material, business letters, reports, whatever, I will go through a dozen or more drafts just to get to a point where I feel I've come as close to perfection as I possibly can. With this stuff, it needs almost no editing. It's just there. It expresses itself remarkably, and I just need to tweak it a little bit. For a long time, as I said earlier, I wasn't real sure what was going on here. But I did keep the writing going, and I found out recently, within the last year, that this kind of communication has a name. It's called inner dictation, and it's a form of channeling. Now, I've got to be honest with you, channeling is a term that I've been kind of reluctant to use because for some people it may have kind of an odd connotation, but I don't know any other word that takes its place. This is information coming from someplace else. And the two works that I mentioned earlier, Conversations with God and A Course in Miracles, also have come through inner dictation. There's a wonderful little book called With the Tongues of Men and Angels, A Study of Channeling by Dr. Arthur Hastings. And it was there that I found this very precise definition of inner dictation, and it was a very precise definition of exactly what I've been doing. So that was very validating to me. Now I want to talk with you about the contents of the book itself. What's in there? What's it all about? These writings that have been coming through me somehow for 30 years now offer, I think, an important and very helpful perspective on some basic spiritual truths that seem to me to be pretty common among major religions and belief systems, and also a perspective on some of the life issues that we all face. They're not religious. They're certainly not dogmatic. And somehow they're able to address some very profound issues and topics in simple, clear, easy-to-understand language. And that's been particularly helpful to me. Now, I'm not implying at all that just because the language is easy to understand that you're going to grasp it all right away. Because this stuff certainly is going to make you think, and it probably will challenge some of the things you already believe in. I've said to a lot of people that I think there's only one truth and that we all sort of approach it from different directions. And I've used the analogy of a diamond. Now, the diamond is that one truth, but it has an infinite number of facets on it, and we all look at it through different facets. We're all looking at the same diamond, but we get a different perspective. And different religions and different spiritual teachings take this one truth, and they present it in a way that's helpful to some people. And if you already have a certain set of teachings that are helpful to you, that's perfect. My hope is that this perspective, looking through this particular facet, will be helpful to some people. Now, it clearly won't to everybody, but I'm putting it out there in the world to let people know that it's here, and God willing, it might be helpful to you. The lessons that are included in this particular book were written over a 3-month period at the end of 1995. That was the only time ever in the 30-year period that I disciplined myself enough to do these writings every day over an extended period of time. And it was the first time that the source of the material had ever referred to this as lessons. And I've always kind of known that if I ever allowed myself to share any of this stuff, and we'll talk about that later, that this particular grouping of writings was what I was supposed to share with the world first. The lessons as they came seemed to come in random order. Sometimes in one particular session, a number of different topics would be covered. There'd be other times when an entire session would be devoted to one topic, and then it would never be addressed again. And a lot of subjects kept popping up and down, and they would show up from time to time. So as I began to think about how to organize them, it occurred to me that there's a similarity here with the way a travel guide's organized. And that seemed kind of interesting because, hey, life is the ultimate journey, right? And we all are on it together. The big difference between the journey of life and taking a journey somewhere in the world is that when you're going on a trip, you can plan everything out. You know where it's going to begin, you know where it's going to end, you know how you're going to get from place to place and what those places are and what you'll do while you're there. On this journey we all share together through life, The only thing we really know for certain is where we started out. We don't know where it's going to end. We're not sure what's going to happen. And we're not even sure where we're going to end up. So it seemed like a good idea to try to organize these lessons in a way that could give us all a better understanding of the journey and how to make the most of it. So there are three parts to the book. The first part is called An Orientation to the Journey. And that's like the part of a travel guide that gives you an overall picture of where you're going to be going with a lot of background information, so you can just sort of soak it all in. The three chapters in this part talk about who we are, why we're here, why life can seem so hard sometimes, and it also touches on how we can access our good. And that relates to the law of attraction, which many of you may be familiar with. The way the information is presented here about accessing our good has given me a broader context to understand the law of attraction. And it occurs to me that it could be helpful to those of you who have been intrigued by the law or have seen The Secret or read other books, but may not have had a lot of success in manifesting your good. The second part of the book is called Enjoying the Adventure. And those lessons talk about spiritual qualities and spiritual practices that can help make navigating these uncharted waters of life easier and more fun. Things like faith, gratitude, joy, meditation, enthusiasm, light, love, a lot of things like that. And the last part is kind of a catch-all. It's called Other Points of Interest. There are always things in travel guides that most of us might not really care much about. But there are those people who do care about it, so that information's included for them. In this case, as I looked at the lessons, there were some of them that just didn't seem to fit neatly into any of the other categories, but that some readers might find helpful, so they sort of got dumped in this third part. Now, before we wrap this all up, I need to do a little confessional. I honestly don't have a clue why I'm the guy who has been the recipient of this information for all these years. I clearly am not any kind of spiritual teacher or guru or anything like that, and I'm still dealing with all the issues on the spiritual path just like almost everybody else in the world. As I look back, though, it's obvious to me now that even though these lessons clearly can be helpful to lots of people, they came to me at points in my life when they specifically could help me with my own spiritual growth. I've said before how very much in awe I am of the process and of the lessons themselves, but I also need to tell you something that is very embarrassing. Each time I would have this experience and finish up a specific writing, I'd read back over it and be amazed by it, and then I would put what I had written into the nightstand next to my bed and often never go back and even read it again. I guess the good news is that I never threw anything away, but all this stuff just kept accumulating over the years. And as it kept accumulating, I kept struggling with the challenges that kept showing up on my path when the help I needed was sitting right there in the nightstand. The next part of the confessional is that I never shared any of this with anyone. Now, my family knew that I was doing this kind of writing, but for reasons I cannot explain at all, I never offered to have any of them read it. And I clearly was not going to let anybody else know about it. I mean, for most of my life, I was very concerned about what other people might think of me. And I always felt a need to impress others or to prove myself, and hey, God only knows what they might have thought if they had found out I was doing this stuff. So you ask, how did some of these writings end up being published in a book? And that's a good and legitimate question. Almost since the very beginning, there's always been this kind of inner urging to share the lessons. And this would even come through specifically in the writing and to make them available to people who could benefit from them. And I'm guessing that's a lot of people, but I resisted that for a very long time. The last few years have been a very transformational time for me. I experienced the end of a marriage that had lasted 33 years, and I packed up and moved to a new town. And fortunately, I was able to take a lot of time just to be alone and to contemplate and to think about life and my own journey. And during that period, I pulled out all those lessons and began reading them again, and somehow found myself letting go of most of the stresses and worries and doubts and fears that I'd lived with my entire life. Now, I can't explain to you exactly how that happened or why it happened, but it happened. And I'm a much more peaceful guy today than I've ever been. So as that transformation, that change in me was happening, little by little, I got to a point of saying, hey, why not share them? I'm in my mid-60s, and I've found that one of the many blessings of the aging process is that you get to a point where you don't really give a hoot what other people might think about you. So that was a factor. And the other was that I've been a hospice volunteer for a lot of years, and I get a very powerful reminder every week of just how time-limited our journey is. So I figured, hey, better do this while you still can. In the book, I make reference to the parable of the talents that was one of Jesus' parables. The gist of it is that there was a master who was leaving town, and he called in his three servants, and he gave them talents, which was money, interesting terminology. And he gave the first guy three talents, and the second two, and the third one, and he left town. When he came back, he called them all back together again, and he said, so what did you do with the talents? And the first two had invested them or done whatever they had done, and they had multiplied and gave the money back to the master. And the third guy said, you know, I know you're a toughie. I buried mine, and I've dug it up, and here it is back again. And the master referred to him as wicked and lazy because he hadn't made good use of that gift he had been given. So I got to a point of thinking about the gift I had been given and sort of comparing myself to that last servant who just buried it and didn't do anything with it. So I figured it's time to dig it up and start to make good use of it. I hope that all this rambling has given you a good feel for what the book's about. You can always find out more at lessonsfromthesource.com. And all of the podcasts that follow this one will be comprised mainly of segments from the actual lessons in the book, and I hope they'll be meaningful to you. Thank you very much for hearing me out, and I wish you many, many blessings on the rest of your journey.